We bid you welcome again and express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's always good to get together, so appreciate your desire to be with us today, not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but to involve ourselves as a congregation in worship to our Heavenly Father. So thank you for coming. Appreciate that very, very much. And Dennis Burchett called in this morning for Bible class. He said he wouldn't make it to Bible class, that he just kind of just felt just a little bit so-called under the weather, but he'd be here. But he said, I'm not going to shake hands with anybody. Oh, I got that figured out. Or didn't do like this. We just shook hands. At the same time, you could go home saying, I shook hands with everybody in the auditorium.
Or three.
Or just shake hands. I always kidded their lady worshipped here years and years ago before she passed away, Darlene Tree. A lot of times she'd be out the door and she'd be across the parking lot, and I said, Darlene, we didn't shake hands. We go like this. Shake hands. So now we can dismiss. We learned something. The lesson for this morning is, as Dennis kind of mentioned, with the example of Jesus. I put a different verse in your introduction than what was read to us. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13, says, consider him, meaning Jesus, who endured such an opposition or contradiction of sinners against himself. Be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus sets the standard when we think Christianity is too much for us. When you start thinking, you know, I'm tired of this Christianity thing or this Christian living. He's becoming a burden. Have to attend worship every Lord's Day, or I'm called upon for this ministry, or let's do that. No, you know, I'm troubled. Sometimes we say, I'm weary. Just don't want to be involved in it anymore. I don't have the same care and concern for the church or the congregation. Oh, we just get weary and faint. The Hebrew writer says, you know, there's a remedy for that. Considering him. Consider Jesus. So I put by definition, if you give Jesus some consideration, it's really more than a passing glance or a casual thought. Oh, Jesus, yeah, I remember I've been taught about him from birth. Well, now the Hebrew says, before you, when you feel like you're weary and faint, no, give Jesus some careful thought, some deliberation. Take the matter into account. It means you're going to ponder, contemplate, examine, think about it. Means you're going to give it some reason. Be mindful of Jesus. Ah, so when we think, give Jesus consideration, you'll kind of chew on that. You know, take some time and just let me dwell on Jesus for a moment. For moments. Otherwise, the text is saying you may become weary in your Christian living. Some suggestions about what some things to consider when you consider Jesus. Number one, consider his purpose in coming into the world. When the angels announced Jesus' birth, in Luke 2 verse 11 it says, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. Christ the Lord. Ah. When you consider Jesus, why don't you consider the Savior? And I need a Savior. The angels announced to Joseph in Matthew 1 verse 21, Mary will bring forth a son. You call his name Jesus, For he shall save his people from their sins.
Oh, that's right.
So when I begin to get weary or faint, think, oh, I'm going to drop out of this Christianity thing. Oh, no, no. Let me think about Jesus for a moment. He came to save me from my sins. Number two, lest you get weary and faint thinking I have 9 points to cover. And we're not going to be out of here till supper. No, I can get through this. So number two, when you consider Jesus, consider his knowledge and understanding of what he would endure. The future suffering of Jesus, the crucifixion, was not a surprise. Think about that. Jesus knew that at the end of this earthly road, there would be a cross.
Wow.
In Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 19, it says Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He took his 12 disciples aside in the way. And he said to them, oh, listen to what he said, Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be, number one, betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. They shall condemn him to death. They will deliver him to the Gentiles to be mocked, to scourge, and to be crucified. And the third day, and oh, by the way, the third day you'll rise again. You see, Jesus knew what was going to happen. If someone was going to tell me, Brian, let's go to Jerusalem or whatever city. And you know what? When Brian, when you get there, you're going to be betrayed and condemned and delivered and mocked and scourged and crucified. Let's go. Oh, I'm backing out, but Jesus doesn't. When you consider Jesus, consider his knowledge, his understanding of what he's going to endure. And you think, oh, yeah, I'm getting a little faint about this Christianity thing. I'm a little wearied. I don't think I want to attend the way that I should. Oh. The text, the opening verse in your notes, consider him. Give him some thought. Whoa. With knowledge that he would be scourged and ridiculed and crucified, he doesn't falter. Number three, consider that Jesus willingly accepted that cross. Willingly. It's not a spur of the moment bravery. It wasn't that something that came upon him with no time to think about it. It wasn't a reluctant action. Okay, if I have to, no. Wasn't that? He wasn't forced. It wasn't a gun at his back. He marches toward that end. Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus himself said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for many. He said in John 10, verse 17, the Father loves me. Because he said, I lay it down myself. I have power to take it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I received from my Father. In Philippians 2, verse 8, the verse that was read to us, he humbled himself, became obedient to the death. When you give consideration of Jesus, consider he willingly accepted that cross. Consider Jesus' silence before his accusers. It was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53 that this event would take place. Isaiah said he was oppressed. He sure was. Afflicted, He opened not his mouth unto the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so he, meaning Jesus, opened not his mouth. I think I would have been screaming. I would have been here trying to defend myself. Let me give you an explanation. No. Jesus goes before the high priest. In Matthew 26, verse 62, the high priest says, "Do you answer nothing?" High priest says, "What is it which these witness against you?" It says, Jesus held his peace. Jesus now appears before Herod. And Herod questions Jesus. And in Luke 23, verse 9, the Bible says he answered him nothing. Jesus goes before Pilate. In Matthew 27, verse 14, it says, "Answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly." Why the silence? Why? You see, I won't answer the question. It was prophesied, remember, that Jesus would be condemned before he was tried. Already condemned. In Acts chapter 8, verse 33, when Philip preaches to the Ethiopian, he preaches unto him Jesus from that prophecy in Isaiah 53. And Philip recalls Isaiah's prophecy, and he quotes that part of it where it says, "In his," meaning in Jesus' humiliation, "his judgment is taken away." You see, when Jesus goes to trial, it was an unfair trial. It was a mock trial. And any discussion, any debate, any argument would not do any good. It would not change the outcome. In today's language, we would probably call it a kangaroo court, if you've ever heard that expression. The people's minds were so shut by pride and prejudice that anything Jesus would say would not make a difference. So as a lamb before the shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Fulfillment of prophecy. Give that consideration. Number five, the horribleness of crucifixion. Looks like, probably read it in not only the Bible, but history books. We've seen it in movies or productions. The wound driven through nerves and tendons. The weight of the body, to ease the pain, one being crucified might push up on the nails in the feet to give the hands a relief, and then to give the feet relief, and they hang by the nails in the hands. We know what crucifixion is. You in illustration has heard me say this before, but when Jesus was crucified, he gave everything. He gave his head to a crown of thorns. He gave his cheeks to be slapped. He gave his face to dirty human spittle. He gave his shoulders to the robe of mockery. He gave his side to the spear. He gave his hands and feet to the Roman nail. He gave his back to the scourge. He gave his garment to the soldiers at the foot of the cross. He gave his mother to the beloved Apostle John. He gave his spirit back to God and the Father. He gave his life for you and for me. He gave everything he had. When you become weary or faint, one motivation would be this. Consider the agony of the cross that Jesus went through for you and for me. Number six, consider Jesus' consideration for others. It's interesting to note this, that he's not thinking of himself, even on the cross. And that was the business of the cross. It was bloody business. Recognized involved in this bloody business was forgiveness and salvation and mercy and grace and love divine. So Jesus considers his mother and gives her to the beloved John in the Gospel of John chapter 19, verse 27. He considers them persecuting him, and he says, "Father, forgive them," considering others again. He's considering a world of people where Paul reminds us of this in Romans chapter 5. God commends his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him. Through him. So consider Jesus' consideration for others, meaning us. The grave could not hold him. Matthew 28, verse 5, when the women came to take care of his body, the tomb was open. The angel said to the women, "He's not here. He's risen." Number 8, I put other verses in your notes to consider. Number 8, consider Jesus' ascension to the Father's right hand. After he was crucified and raised the third day, spent 40 more days in his ministry on earth. After 40 days of his resurrection, he's ascended back to the Father. In Ephesians 1, verse 20, it gives him. He says, God's power, God's power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. God raised him. God did that. God ascended him to his own right hand. Number 9. Consider Jesus coming again. In Acts chapter 1, those that were there when Jesus was ascended, the Bible gives this report. Acts 1 verse 9. When they said these things, he was taken up. Cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This Jesus, this one, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." Consider his coming again. In Acts 17, verse 30, Paul said, "The time of ignorance God winked at, and everywhere to repent. Because the value of repentance, value of repentance. Why is there that admonition to repent and be converted? Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And whereas he's given assurance to all men in that he's raised him from the dead." The last, I don't have this in your notes, but just consider his invitation. Consider his invitation. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." Are you weary? Do you want to faint or fall by the wayside? Consider him. Come to him. I'll give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You're like, "Oh, my burden's too heavy." Consider the Son of God in these areas. Consider what a privilege it is to become a Christian, to be on God's side. And that's the invitation every time we meet. You need to hear that message that we presented today. Believe it. Jesus said it himself in John 8, verse 24. "Except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sin." Then you'll want to repent. Turn your life around. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, repent or you'll perish. Hear the good news and believe. You want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. He says, "Here's water. Anything stopping me from being baptized?" He said, "If you believe, you may." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Philip says, "Stop the chariot." They both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. and came up out of the water. The Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. That's why we extend an invitation. You provide an occasion.
If you want to need to respond in a public way to that invitation, you're very welcome to do so when we're singing this song. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Des has selected for.